Welcome to Climate Matters, segment three. We are here with Carl Robigo of the Pace Energy and Climate Center. Very pleased to have you here with us again, Carl. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to talk about these things. I love it.
I can hear it in your voice. Me too. So, Carl, we spent the first segment talking a little bit about the Climate and Energy Center at Pace. We spoke in broad terms about the REV proceeding, Reforming the Energy Vision. And in the second segment, we talked about some of the steps that are underway to actually effectuate the REV to benefit ratepayers, the environment, and shareholders. And that alignment of interests is very provocative and could lead to a much greater transformation to a clean energy grid. Decarbonizing the grid is what we're speaking of. So talk to us, Carl, about what are the opportunities to decarbonize the grid and what are the obstacles? Where are we on our current goals and what stands in the way?
So if it wasn't hard enough just to change one of the largest, most entrenched industries sectors in the country and around the world, we are simultaneously hit with an even more imperative obligation of addressing climate change. We can't ignore it anymore. Thank heavens we live in a state where our elected leadership in the legislature and in the governor's office and his appointments in our various agencies have recognized that. We now have climate legislation that has passed, and we've got some aggressive targets. We've got to get carbon out of energy, meaning we've got to stop driving on petroleum, and we've got to stop burning gas. We've already stopped burning coal. Economics pretty much took care of the coal industry in New York and in many other parts of this country. So the challenge before us is petroleum in various forms. By the way, also, we still use a lot of it for heating oil and getting out of gas. And so the question, the challenge, the opportunity in front of us is to take this major transformational effort in the electric utility sector and to align it with our climate objectives so that we can get both done at the same time. Fortunately, we've got a good start, right? We've had climate goals and strategies from the start of the Cuomo administrations. We've had the idea and the practice of trying to reflect carbon prices in the way we compensate distributed resources. And as we talked about in our previous segment, the way the independent system operator starts looking at valuing wholesale transactions. But we got to do more, and we got to do it a lot faster. NYSERDA, the energy research and development part of our government, is spending a lot of money trying to figure out how to accelerate the development of large-scale renewable facilities using market mechanisms to purchase the renewable energy certificates and encourage those facilities to get built. The commission is working on rules for distributed resources, and entrepreneurs are trying to make a go at it, solar marketers, storage marketers, fuel cell marketers, and others. And the challenge in front of us right now is doing it all in double and triple and quadruple time, because we've got to show ourselves on the road to 100% carbon-free electricity substantially by 2030, and we pretty much got to finish the work by 2040. So we got to build a lot of renewables fast, we got to connect them to the grid, and we got to make sure the grid stays up when we do it.
Absolutely. So description of setting the context is a great picture of the challenge and opportunities in front of us. Hal Harvey at Energy Innovation describes it as we need speed and scale at an unprecedented level. And the NYISO has indicated even prior to the recent climate legislation passing here in New York that it will be one of the most aggressive ramp-ups of renewables of any regional transmission organization. So You're exactly right. We have some very ambitious goals, and the benefits are huge in terms of low-cost renewables, decarbonizing the grid to move our HVAC and our transportation over to electric, and to improve our air quality and improve our health. So all of those benefits apply. That context I appreciate. So what's in the way? What how do we pave the path for getting there?
Right. That's a great question, and it's what we should be focused on, right? So there's top-end problems and there's bottom-end problems and a little bit of stuff in between. So the bottom-end problem is our buildings and our transportation, right? We can't keep driving cars that run on petroleum, and we can't keep heating our buildings with the direct combustion of natural gas and with heating oil, at least not if we're going to get all this done over the next 10, 20 years. So we got to get moving on it. Now, nobody's coming for your stove and nobody's coming for your car, but we do have to take, you know, and drive the market so that it accelerates the process. And there are benefits. Inefficient gas combustion causes asthma problems for low-income customers. Switching them to electric heat and electric cooking would provide environmental benefits and create great markets for renewable resources. Tightening up our buildings with energy efficiency and stop wasting the heat we make and the air conditioning we create, but the heat we make through better building performance and stricter building codes would also help. Adding electric vehicles would help the utilities when they face the issue of decreased sales. So electric vehicles make up for the electricity sales they lose when we get more efficient. And electric systems are more reliable and can work and be repaired and managed more safely. So there's benefits that come from that as well. That's at the bottom end. At the top end, we simply have to get a huge amount of solar at all scales, from rooftop to tens of megawatts and maybe even 50-plus megawatts at a time, giant solar fields and wind farms built all over the state. There's a terrible problem that New York faces right now, that we are having major obstacles to getting those facilities sited. We've got siting review processes that are taking too long, that are frustrating the money that wants to build those renewable facilities and is slowing us down. So we're desperately in need of siting reform. Let me just put it really bluntly.
Please.
We cannot afford to put renewable energy generation through the same siting gauntlet that we would put gas or coal generation through. And I'm afraid that's what we're doing. And sadly, we can't afford to let misguided advocates, often called NIMBYs, who oppose clean energy development, to get in the way of solving this vital climate problem. We're going to have to find solutions that respect their rights, but that move this sector ahead fast. And in between, we got to get some transmission built. We need ways for that clean, renewable energy to make it from upstate to downstate, because New York has an upstate, downstate set of issues. We need to build the transmission for the offshore wind to serve New York City directly and the population areas in the lower part of the state. But we need to create the economic benefits of large-scale renewable development for all of New York. So we need a grid that can connect us all to those clean energy resources, too.
So your summary has amplified the message that we have quite an ambitious agenda in front of us, and that we need the cooperation at all levels, the engagement at all levels in terms of what you described as the bottom, in terms of the purchasers and users of energy, as well as the providers, the suppliers of our energy resources. We've been discussing the energy policies and climate policies here in New York State with Carl Robigo of the Pace Energy and Climate Center. And this has been a very hearty discussion and a most welcome and needed discussion, Carl. So thank you very much.
Mr. Savio, it's been great to have you as my host, and it's been just a real treat to talk about these important issues. Thanks for putting on this podcast.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me be part of it.
You are most welcome. Thank you.